Got it.
So it turns out that the children who are mentally and physically disabled are more likely statistically to face corporal punishment in public schools than their peers. And this is just out in a report by the American Civil Liberties Union and Human Rights Watch. We're here to talk about it, what it means, what are the sort of limitations in public schools and deficiencies in public schools that might be responsible for these disturbing statistics. Alice Farmer is a lawyer with the ACLU and Human Rights Watch. She authored the report. Alice, good morning.
Good morning.
And also with us is Anna Moore, who's the mother of a 10-year-old with autism in Port St. Lucie, Florida. She's an advocate with the group Families Against Restraint and Seclusion. Anna Moore, first of all, what did you discover about the experience of your son in public school that resonates with this report that we're just reading about now?
Well, my son is on the autism spectrum, and he on occasion gets overwhelmed. He was taught to put his head down or go into the bathroom. You know, usually takes 10, 15 minutes to pull himself back together. After about four restrainings in a month and a half period, the last one being the most severe. And at that point, he was only going to class for 40 minutes at a time. And I was sitting at in the front office waiting for him. And the first day went fine. The second day, they wanted to add an additional 40 minutes, which I felt was too soon. And I told my son if he couldn't do the additional 40 minutes that I was up front, just let them know I'm in the front office and that, you know, you're ready to go home. And after the 40 minutes of class, he started walking to the front office. And his occupational therapist, who was on the way to get him, asked him to sit down because she didn't understand what was going on. And the behavior analyst, who was supposed to be observing him, came out and kept redirecting him to go back to class. And my son kept telling him, my mom's in the front office. She said I can go home. And when my son wouldn't get up, he proceeded to start restraining him.
So we've got, let me review the cast of characters here. We've got a behavioral analyst, we've got a teacher, an occupational therapist, and you, the mom, are actually on the premises in the school, and still your boy ended up with physical consequences from this restraint, right?
Yes.
Describe those quickly, and then I want to ask a question of Alice here in the studio.
He suffered a cervical strain, a busted lip, bruising on the back and ribs. He had bleeding under the skin on his upper and underarms and down his torso.
So, Mom, Anna Moore, the term restraint is a bit of a euphemism here. It sounds like he was, quite literally abused.
Yes, sir.
All right. Alice Farmer, how, first of all, contextualize the story that Anna Moore just told to us. You're an attorney at the ACLU. You're the author of this Human Rights Watch report that says that people with disabilities, kids with disabilities, are more likely to receive corporal punishment and restraints of this type in public schools. Is this typical?
Absolutely. We know that paddling is routine in many U.S. public schools, and Anna's son wasn't subjected to paddling, but students with disabilities are paddled at disproportionately high rates.
Now, is it possible that, these are special ed policies gone terribly wrong and that people are funneled into schools who don't have the expertise to deal with kids and that they're just coming to these sorts of tactics as a way of improvising?
I mean, I think that's possible, but we need to make sure that all teachers have and teachers' aides and anyone involved in dealing with children has the resources they need to provide safe and effective discipline. And corporal punishment of any type, violence against students, is just not an effective way of providing a safe school.
In your report, is it clear from the public schools that they have a position, a policy on corporal punishment, and that these are organized procedures, or is it just all over the map?
I think it's all over the map, especially when speaking of students with disabilities. Paddling's usually a school policy or a school district-wide policy. But when it comes to other forms of violence, particularly against students with disabilities, that's where you start seeing policies break down and all sorts of ad hoc things going ahead.
So, Anna Moore, what was the explanation of these educational professionals for why they treated your son in this particular way? Was there a policy? Was there some procedure that they quoted?
No, actually, restraint should be last resort and only used if there's imminent danger. And once my child was diagnosed with autism, he seemed to become fair game. That's when they started putting their hands on him.
Now, you've got two data points in this particular school, right? I mean, there's your son who's on the autism scale, but you also have a daughter.
Yes, he's a twin.
Or he's a twin. So has his twin sister suffered the same kinds of physical sort of encounters with educational staff?
No, not at all.
And so what is her view of what's gone on here?
She was scared. It affected her also. She felt that if that could be done to him, it could certainly happen to her. She's, you know, constantly on the honor roll, and she gets S's in conduct. Isaiah had E's, which was higher than an S, excelling at grade level expectations. Hmm. So this happens to children without behavior issues.
Alice Farmer with ACLU, I'm Celeste Headley. I'm just wondering, you know, a lot of people when we were discussing this story were very surprised that corporal punishment was actually still legal in many public schools. Are there restrictions? Are there guidelines on when and how corporal punishment can be used in public schools?
There are some guidelines. It varies state by state. There are 20 states that have legal paddling in schools. Those restrictions, the restrictions that exist are nowhere near sufficient to protect the child. We have had numerous instances of children being bruised, receiving whiplash damage, damage to bones, and this sort of impact is even worse for students with disabilities, who often have underlying conditions that can be worsened by the physical punishment that they see.
Well, what's the recommendation here? I mean, should there be coordinated policies across the board in the United States on something like corporal punishment, and then the level of expertise in dealing with special ed, special education in public schools, should that be upgraded in some sense?
Well, our recommendation is to ban corporal punishment across the board for any student. No child should be subject to this sort of punishment, especially the most vulnerable. When it comes to restraint, it can be necessary to use force to protect the safety of a child or others, but that has to be an absolute last resort. It has to be a minimal force used for the shortest period of time, and there need to be very strong guidelines and training on how to do that.
You're a lawyer, right?
That's right.
Alice, and I'm wondering if public school officials are less liable in a situation where it's a special education student who has a specific disability on something like, assault or abuse in dealing with the corporal punishment and a student?
In general, we found that parents have very few recourses when their children are subject to this sort of punishment. We found that any state that has legal corporal punishment also has immunity laws for the educators who use the punishment in school.
So you were completely vulnerable, Anna Moore. Is that a fair characterization?
Yes.
All right. Well, this is really interesting stuff. Anna Moore is a mother of a 10-year-old on the autism spectrum in Port St. Lucie, Florida. One of the data points that constitutes a whole report nationwide, right, Alice?
That's right, yeah.
Nationwide on disability and corporal punishment in public schools. Alice Farmer is an attorney at the ACLU and Human Rights Watch. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.